Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we celebrate the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. The Feast of Corpus Christi, it's a very powerful weekend in which we highlight the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So let's go to our checklist. Number one, my friends, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 2 to 3 and 14 to 16. And here it is. Moses said to the people, "Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God had directed all your journeying in the desert, so as to test you by affliction, and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger, and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery, who guided you through the vast and terrible desert, with its seraph serpents and scorpions, its parched and waterless ground, who brought forth water for you from the flinty rock, and fed you in the desert with manna, a food unknown to your fathers." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Deuteronomy, my friends, we are given a great message from Moses himself, who once again received the blessings from our Father in heaven, to be the recipient of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And here we are reminded that we too will be tested. For Moses says, "Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert, so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments." And once again, you and I will be tested in all kinds of ways, especially in our most vulnerable area, our weakest area, something we love the most that goes in a way opposite to the Word of God. And we will be tested, my friends, but with a strong faith and a devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will prompt us, will keep us free of the sin that we are destined to commit once again, because it's our weakest area, our most vulnerable area. And I just tell you that It is a powerful thing to have faith, which is a gift. And we will be tested. And like the people that God tested in the past, we too will be tested to see if it was our intention to keep the Ten Commandments, the instructions, what God says to do and not to do, or to go back and to repeat the past. So expect that you and I will be tested, my friends. What is it that is your most vulnerable area? Is it money, power, prestige? Is it women, sex, gambling, drugs or alcohol? What is your most vulnerable area? The thing you love the most, but it's the thing that will bring you down. So God calls us, my friends, to a strong faith because he wants us to overcome those temptations. And in the book of James, you know, he talks about temptation in a great way and that we have to persevere through it. And it takes a strong faith to do that. It takes wisdom, and we gain wisdom from the past mistakes, not to repeat the same mistake a second time. God gives us wisdom. But he does say in the book of James that we have to pray with a strong faith, a firm faith, and not waver like a wave in the sea going back and forth, up and down. God calls us to be firm in our faith, and he wants us to be true 7 days a week, to be true to the commandments. So we too will be tested. And it will be a blessing, my friends, when we come through, because God will have seen us through it. And he knows that human beings are weak at different moments in their lives. So with God's help, all things are possible. And I just want to say that the word of God in this passage goes on to say this: do not forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. Is it possible, my friends, that sometimes you and I forget about the Lord our God and do other things, put him on the back burner, place him in a lower position in the priority list? For many years, God was truly last on the list, only 1 hour a week. But today, we want to give him more time. We want to elevate him to the number one position on the list and make him number one and ourselves number two. Hence, we have priorities in life: God first, then you, then family, then work, then community service, then hobbies and sports. And the stronger you are, the more you can do for your family, and the more you can do for the people in the world, God's children. And God calls us to not forget about him, but to acknowledge him in all things. But there are those we know who are reluctant, once again, to acknowledge the existence of God, the presence of God, to say a blessing at a meal. There are those, my friends, who would have us forget about the Lord and remove the word of God from our vocabulary, as they did in public schools in 1962. So I challenge you today, my friends, to keep the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, on the tip of your tongue. Use every reminder that you have available so that we don't forget about the Lord, especially when we're tired, hungry, fatigued, too busy. We want to keep the Lord at the forefront at all times, and it's powerful. Let's go to our second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 to 17. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, the cup of blessing that we bless, Is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because the loaf of bread is one, we, though many, are one body. For we all partake of one loaf. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the second reading from 1 Corinthians, my friends, we're given a great message from St. Paul to the people of Corinth about the cup of blessing that we bless and the bread that we break. And here we truly reflect on the Holy Mass, each and every Mass said every day throughout the world, that the tradition, the ritual that Jesus Christ gave us during the Last Supper before he died, is truly special, unique, created by God himself to truly foster faith amongst the people and to acknowledge our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God through him and through the Holy Spirit. Once again, St. Paul tells us, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? So we acknowledge in the cup that the wine will turn to the true presence of Jesus Christ in the blood of Christ. And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And here we look at truly in communion, we are given the bread changed into the true body of Christ. Hence, for 1800 years, we've had Eucharistic miracles to identify the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. The true presence of Jesus Christ in the body and in the blood of Christ, identified in countries throughout the world for centuries. And yet there are those who don't attend church. There are those who don't believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. But God has given us a lot of evidence, a lot of information, including these words here today from St. Paul, who was converted by Jesus Christ himself. And so today we acknowledge the body and blood of Jesus Christ available to us when we have the humility to put God first and to enter the doors of the church, to enter on time, dressed well, relaxed, with our children, with our spouses, with our families, ready to listen to the Word of God with an open heart and an open mind, with no distractions, with our Bibles open. God calls us to partake of one loaf. And so we are all part of the body of Christ, and we are given the opportunity to receive Jesus in the precious blood and the precious body of Jesus Christ in communion. And I can tell you, as a deacon at St. Mary's Cathedral, what a blessing it is to provide Jesus to all who come in line to receive. What a blessing it is to watch them genuflect, to kneel down and to receive Jesus with great reverence, deep respect. And it's powerful. It's something we all need to do, and yet very few people attend church in the United States and throughout the world. There are those who are away from the church. And I'll just tell you that 2 weeks ago we preached on Pentecost Sunday, the descent of the Holy Spirit, And after the Mass, a woman came up to me at the front of the church and she said, "You touched me. You touched me when you spoke about those families who are struggling because their children are away from the church, away from the Word of God. Although they were raised in it, they have pulled away, made a decision to put God last, take him off the table, not acknowledge him. But today you touched me, and my son is here after years away from the church. And he is here, he's up in the choir loft. And we are here from Rhode Island to celebrate at an event. And I just wanted to tell you once again that my son, who's been away from the church, was here for the first time. It was exactly what you spoke about in your homily. And it touched me and my husband and family. So we thank you for that. And I share that story with you, my friends, because, once again, we have opportunity to bring souls to Christ, to get home to the Father. And it all really is about faith, which is a gift. And we have to be open to receive that gift. We have to water that gift like a flower and let it blossom, let it grow, allow it to develop, to get closer to Jesus Christ. And today we acknowledge the way we get closer is through the true presence of Christ in the body and blood during communion. We have opportunity to do it. I challenge you today, my friends, to go to church this Sunday, to get there just a little bit early and to relax in the spirit, to pray, to thank God for the opportunity to be there, for the good health that he gives you, for the family he's blessed you with, for the good health, the family, and the gift of faith, truly, which carries us through the good times and the bad times. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. And here it is. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, we're given a great message from our Lord Jesus about the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. He says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh and the life of the world." He says it that way, my friends, that it is his flesh. And whoever eats his bread will live forever. So I ask you the question, my friends, do you believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist? Or have you fallen away? Have you been deceived by other people? I ask you the question, are you engaged in the Word of God here this morning? Do you believe what Jesus has told us? And Jesus reinforces it, and he says it this way. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. And this is where we acknowledge the true presence once again of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. The true blood, the true body. It is his flesh. And we are given this beautiful confirmation, this affirmation, this verification, if you will, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. And it's up to you and I, my friends, to come on board with what the Word of God has provided to us, which is confirmation for 2,000 years from the Apostle John, who was given the blessing of being there at the foot of the cross with our Blessed Mother Mary. And I just tell you that he is an eyewitness. He is truly a powerhouse in delivering the Word of God to humanity. And for 2,000 years, we have been recipients of this same Word. And yet people have walked away. People have gone elsewhere. People have been reluctant to accept what Jesus says. And he has done so much for us for millenniums. And he was there in the beginning of the world. He is part of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son who was given to us as the greatest gift of the world by our Heavenly Father 2,000 years ago, who lived 33 years, who performed many miracles, did so much to increase the faith of the people, who died on the cross after being crucified and then rose from the dead. The Word of God goes on to say this, my friends, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Once again, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Have we accepted this, my friends? What do you believe? Do you believe in the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist? Or do you believe something else? What is it that you believe in your home, that you are passing on to your children, like a race in the Olympics with four runners? They pass the baton one at a time to the next man. We too have to pass the baton of faith on to our children, over to family members. And we have to do it with great love, great zeal and enthusiasm, great passion, with honesty, sincerity, respect. And we have to do it right from the Word of God itself. So it's imperative that we open the Word of God to reveal the truth. And Jesus is the truth, the life and the way. No one comes to the Father except through him. And he says that. And he gives us that as a gift, a roadmap, a way to navigate home to heaven, to the Father. And I can tell you, as a pilot, navigation is everything, because if you don't navigate properly, you may not get to your destination. And you can end up in a totally different place. Not only you as the pilot, but the hundreds of passengers behind you in your plane. So God has given us our Lord Jesus Christ as the vehicle by which we get home to the Father. He said once again, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And we must believe with our hearts and confess with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's powerful. So I challenge you this week, my friends, to come on board with the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to enter into your heart, into your mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to work within you, to prompt you to do amazing things for God. First and foremost, to develop a strong faith in Jesus Christ, so you too can come home to the Father. Now I want to share a special story with you that occurred in my own home just 2 days ago. And a white dove appeared in the backyard and stayed with us 1 hour. And no matter where I walked, the white dove would not move. It would just move its eyes a little bit left or right. But he stayed with us 1 hour from the backyard on the lower deck. And he went up to the umbrella and then up to the roof, one step at a time over about a 30-minute period. He sat on the top of the roof for another 30 minutes. And for 1 hour, the white dove was there. And we had just talked about Pentecost and the descent of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Trinity, the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, this past weekend. And this week, we were blessed as a family in our home to be recipients of the Holy Spirit, who truly appeared in the form of a white dove. And I share that with you because it's a miracle. And the miracle of the Holy Spirit on our home has given us, you know, just a stronger faith. It's a faith increaser, just like the true presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the body and blood every time we come to communion. So my friends, today I challenge you to go to church this Sunday and to get there early and to pray that God will open your heart and your mind to believing in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.